Hello, 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 everyone. What's going on? It's your girl Tinkybell here with an anime review Sunday for you guys. Yes, I know today is Monday. I gets it. I was originally going to record this last night at 12:47 a.m., but I decided not to. I did start finishing this anime really late. Therefore, that's why it's getting posted on Monday. So even though this is an anime review Monday, it's still gonna be an anime review Sunday. Let's just get it at that. So I finally finished watching Guilty Crown, and the reason why I haven't done a review, finished the review of it, because I only talked about episodes 1 through 12 in the first part, was because I really wasn't feeling episode 14, 13 through 22. I didn't really think there was no reason to continue this series, but I finally decided to just go ahead and continue it. And honestly, I did like this part two. I'm going to call it a part two, even though all of it is basically one season. I split it into two parts. I love episode 13 through 22. I just loved episode 13 to 22. With episode 1 through 12, it was good in the beginning, but it was really rocky. So my opinion about it has now officially changed. Here's basically like the overview of, well, not really the overview. I do actually have some notes here that I am going to kind of talk about. But a little recap on part one. We get introduced to our characters, Shu Oma. He is this kid who basically is, he's very questionable about who he is. He's always been the type of person to really go along with people think he wants to do, and not what he wants to do. So it's this weird little crisis that he has going on. He gets kind of mixed up in this battle between the government and this resistance called Funeral Parlor. And he also learns that he inhabited this power called the King's Power. And it's just this big crazy battle, and being introduced to like other characters like his classmates, Sota, a hero, and Hare, and another chick I cannot remember who wears glasses. And you also get members of like Funeral Parlor. So for example, ISA, Sugumi, you have Guy, who's the leader. And pretty much you just get the introduction of the characters, really the battle between the resistance and I keep feeling like when I say resistance, I'm now thinking of Star Wars, a Funeral Parlor, as well as the government. I will say this though, big massive overview. Sorry if you're gonna hear the flipping through them. You don't really learn about the plot, like the main plot, until like the end of the series. So when you kind of get into episodes like, let's see, when you finally kind of get into the episodes of episode 16, I want to say that's when you start getting a little bit more of the plot, but really it isn't until episode 19 where you kind of start learning more about it. That's kind of like the downside of this anime, like the main overview. This series has two plots, it feels like. It feels like in episode 1 through 12, you kind of have like this massive overview of what the entire series is supposed to be about that leaves you confusing. That's one massive plot, because you have like Funeral Parlor versus the government. But then when you finally get into episode 13 through 22, now you get this plot of knowing more about the virus and why they really want it. You get more backstory. So it's kind of confusing. I feel like I still feel like that episodes 13 through 22 should have been like a season 2. I feel like that would have been more appropriate. I think I said in the first, I don't even think, I think I don't think I know. I'm pretty sure that I said that Guilty Crown's getting a season two. I did some research on that even more to know if I'm still correct. And I realized they've never really confirmed about a season two. It's been talked about, but there's been no confirmation of it. So I kind of feel like they don't need to have a season two by the way it ended, which I'll kind of explain. So I feel like episode 13 through 22, I know I keep repeating that, should have been in season two. I'm going to keep saying these episodes like crazy. But let's actually get started with the review. Let's finish this. So in episode 13, basically it takes place, I believe, 2 years after the last battle with after episode 12. And basically there's a section of Japan that has been written off as like the quarantine, which I find that to be super duper ironic. And pretty much the leader, the class president, the student body president, as I'm going to call her, Arisa, who is one of Shu's friends, or, well, used to be Shu's friends. Basically, she starts getting pressured because students are not really happy. You have, like, these two jerks who want to put Arisa down in power because they start, telling the entire student, like, every one of the students, we need a brand new leader, which leads into episode 14, because in episode 14, Hare, a girl that has a crush on Shu, tells Shu that, yo, you need to be I feel like you should be class president. I feel like you should be the leader because I feel like you are better with that responsibility. Shu's like, no, I'm not responsible for that. Until there's been this rumor that if by the government saying that if you have any of the other, if there's any remaining funeral parlor people in the school, we will let you guys go. And of course, every one of the students are going crazy because they want to go home. They want to see their parents. They don't want to die. And as soon as they get Arisa, Ayase, and Sugumi, who are funeral parlor, who are basically in funeral parlor, that's when Shu kind of finally takes his stand and tell him like, yo, you need to stop. And he kind of like shows everyone his power and he shows that the government was lying all the time. So basically episode 14 was like this poke of like, you should never really trust the government, even in a crazy conditioning, which I don't know. I feel like that's what people are really doing with this pandemic. Like, oh man, if you watch this, if you guys watch this and compare it to the real world today, it will be sort of accurate. So during the end of the episode, we learn that Yahiro, previously Yahiro was like this character that backstabbed, Shu because he wanted his brother to basically get better, but of course his brother died because Shu killed him because his brother wanted to die. But he created this void ranking system, and pretty much the void ranking system is like, if you have a higher void, like if your void weapon is high and it's useful, you're like a rank A. If it's F, it's not useful, therefore there's no real need for it. And at first I kind of questioned this because I was questioning a hero's motives. Like, I don't think this is not putting you in a good light, dude. Like, it's literally putting you in a very bad, negative light. Like, you have some other type of agenda than what you're saying. But we get more about it when we finally get to episode 15. So basically they start doing this red line thing, and this red line is, as stated in episode 14, if anyone is past the red line, they get shot down like immediately. So my brain went to, what if the world was like that with COVID-19? Like, what if there was like sections of the world that was completely that was just shut off for the rest of the world, like some sections of the states. Like, for example, let's say that Tacoma was like sectioned off in Washington while Seattle was okay and other places were okay. Basically speaking, if we were past the red line, we would get killed. I'm pretty sure we would look like an actual post-apocalyptic world. But it starts talking about like discrimination against by void. So, like I stated before, and like I stated before, void is going to be ranked through systems. And it kind of reminded me of the Walking Dead game, like the Walking Dead game, the one with Clementine and Lee and Kenny, where it's like I can't remember if it was season two or season three. I think it's season two, where people were kind of doing discrimination against like young and old. You know, if they're old, there's no use for them, so they should just go off. And if they're way too young, there's no need for them. You know what I mean? So that's just something I kind of got with that. But now my brain went to, is discrimination against a world pandemic good? And obviously it's not. Of course, with Black Lives Matters going on and everything, I wanted to talk more about into this, but at the same time, I feel like, you know what? I'm not going to talk about it. I don't even know why I even put that in there. I think it was just because I wanted to mention it. But now we get into like in episode 15. So there's not really a lot of stuff to really talk about in these episodes. So I'm just going to talk about just the points that I've noticed. So in episode like 15, you get Sota and Shu's bond. Sota is another friend of Shu's. A classmate, and their bond is just way too cute. In the scene, they were like just shouting off to the rooftops, like their emotions, letting their truths out, and it was just adorable. I also want to talk about, like, because in episode 15, like, I think that's when things really go down. And in every single episode, like, most of the episodes are just really short. But Hari and Shu's relationship. Like I stated before, Hari is a friend of Shu's, a classmate of Shu's, and has a crush on Shu's. I really feel like Shu's and Hari's relationship is adorable. I'm not really the one for shipping, even though I do it a lot. I don't like it. I don't really like talking about it that much. Maybe I'll do that on a video later, but their relationship in this series is adorable. Even though I know that the relationship is supposed to be strictly Inori and Shu's, I really do love Hari and Inori's relationship, especially since Hari dies. And the way that her death goes is just, it's just saddening. It really tugged my heartstrings because, you know, sort of like it finally kind of get leaks. That's about the ranking systems and, you know, about the ranking systems between the voids. And Sota's kind of really upset and tells Shu, like, hey, you're kind of the leader. Do you think that maybe we can practice with our void so we can get stronger? Only for Sota to go out into the battlefield and basically take some vaccines because the vaccines that they need is running low, that they have is running low. And so Sota's like, I'm gonna go take other people who are rank F, and I'm gonna go out and prove that I'm the best. Only that it leads to Hare's death because he tells Hare, I need you to go fix that car so we can go ahead and we can get out of here. Hare tries to do it, but at last she doesn't. She gets badly injured to the point where her void is not really working the way that it's supposed to. So she kind of gives the last of her willpower to save Shu because he protected her over the blast that happened. And once she died, her void she got turned she got she basically had the virus, turned into the virus, and she disappeared. It's weird. I'm trying to explain this because I can only record up to 30 minutes on my computer. So I'm probably gonna have to put this in three parts. But So basically, this is also the episode where Shu completely snaps. He starts beating down on Soda, saying like it's all his fault. It's all his fault. She could have been alive, but no, you decided to do something reckless and stupid, and now she's dead. Which, so I'm like, oh, he officially snapped, because he kind of makes a point. A really good point, and I want to see if I actually, okay, yeah, okay, so Shu made an actual statement that made me realize that's true. Hare was the only person that really believed in Shu and stuck by his side and definitely knew who he was. Inori sort of did, but at the same time, not really. That's why I'll talk more about Inori later. But in episode 16, we get introduced to some more funeral parlor members. Agumo, and I can't remember the other dude, but I know one of them's Agumo. And Shu becomes like this absolute tyrant in this episode. Like I said, there's not really a lot to talk about in these episodes, so I'm just hitting the points. Shu is really going off with his emotion and becomes a tyrant. The death of Hare is really, really affecting him to where some of the people that he gathered are starting to really resent him because he's no longer this kind person that people know, like that people kind of knew him for. And here's the thing, Inori really has no reason to follow Shu. When one of the funeral parlor members comes to see Shu and tells him, like, look, we kind of need to see RSA, the former class president, so I need to take her back to her grandfather. He kind of sees Shu in this tyrant like form, and then he sees Inori and tells Inori, like, you're gonna follow him too, because, like, why are you following him? And she said, because I want to, which I get it, but Inori really has no reason to really follow Shu. Which kind of goes into the thing. I'm going to hit this first before I hit my other point. Inori and Shu's relationship seems really unhealthy. Here's the deal. When you kind of start seeing episode 16 to episode 18, that's when you really start questioning like their relationship, because it really starts to kind of feel unhealthy, almost like obsession-wise. It feels like Shu is kind of like massively obsessed with Inori, and Inori is just kind of going along with it, like it's love. It just seems really unhealthy to me. I don't really know what the government's kind of planning with Shu. Like I said, you don't really start understanding what goes on until episode like 19, really. So that's kind of the thing with the government. Another thing, basically, we learned this in episode 15, but it gets explained in 16. If a void breaks, so if your heart, so I should probably explain a little bit more about a void. So let's just say you're a very kind, compassionate person who has a passion for, let's just say that you have a passion for photography. So your heart will represent like a camera-like weapon that can open up anything. I'm just taking Sota's, for example. And let's just say that it breaks. Like, someone completely slashes through it, or shoots it, or just stomps on it. If that breaks, it's basically your heart dying, and you die with it. So basically, if a void breaks, it equals a person's death. And you learn about that in episode 16. But here's the thing. In episode 17, that's when the secret finally gets out. Because in 16, funeral parlor dude is yelling at Shu, saying, like, you're trying to act like your guy, but you never won't be. And this pisses off Shu. And, of course, a girl that was with Shu to take prisoner to the former funeral parlor member her void breaks and she dies. That's when Shu realizes, and he tells Yahiro, "You knew about this the entire time. That's how Hare died." And Yahiro's like, "Listen, I wanted to tell you, but I didn't want to tell you because I knew you wouldn't go along with anything." And so that secret gets completely out, because Arisa, she's just like, "I'm tired of being contained," but now she's in full blown out scared mode, because, you know, she's like a rank S. Her power is the ability to protect others. And she kind of starts seeing, like, what happens if her void breaks, which obviously terrifies her. And she basically loses it in episode 17. Like, she loses it. Another thing I also noticed in episode 17, that Yahiro made the void system, and now he seems very reluctant. Like, Here's the deal. Once Yahiro mentions Guy, Shu goes on this tangent of being like, "Yeah, so what?" And then he questions Shu, like, "Would Guy kill one of his own people just for his own gain?" So it kind of seems like, even though Yahiro made the void system, he's also kind of questioning about it as well, even though he was the one that made it. But pretty much, basically, everybody, Arisa kind of comes up with this plan on how to take down Shu, because she's tired of Shu's tyranny. And in the end, they all have this massive battle. They can all go free, but everyone starts turning against Shu, saying like, "Listen, you are the problem. We know the secret. We're going to get you and we're going to kill you." And Guy returns. I didn't mention this. I probably mentioned this before, but in part one, in episode 12, Guy dies. But he finally returns because he gets resurrected. And he just cuts Shu's arm off, like, completely. And that's the same arm that he uses to take people's voids. So this is the part where, in episode 18 through the rest of the episodes, there's not really a lot to really talk about. It's a lot of just running and kind of dialogue. So I'm just going to hit the points. 18, Arisa is kind of turning into a sellout. Basically, she starts to follow Guy like a mindless love puppet. Inori is a very questionable character. Like, she seems weak, but after she finally, like, tells Shu, like, "I'm going to get captured so that way you can run," she has, like, this big badass fight. And then it starts to question, like, does Inori really have feelings for Shu? Because Inori is supposed to kind of be just a host for Mana's consciousness. And keep in mind, Mana is Shu's older sister. So the question is it really Inori having feelings for Shu, or is it really just... Sorry, guys. Is it really, like, Inori having feelings for Shu, or is it just some of Mana's feelings coming into the fray for Shu? Yeah, Mana's feelings coming into the fray in order for Inori to have her own individual feelings and bases off of that. Like I said, their entire relationship in this series, like, especially further down the line, just seems really unhealthy. So then in episode 19, the president, you seriously learn that the president, the evil dude that's trying to resurrect Shu's evil older Yandere sister, and who basically tried to restart the last Christmas, the entire apocalypse again, is Shu's uncle. And you also learn that the president killed Shu's dad, and his dad was his best friend. And it was crazy. Like, absolutely insane. Arisa has her own little thing, but you don't really know that much about it. It's not really explained. She just kind of wants to like, she just basically wants to be with guys. So RSO is basically not even necessary. So apparently it turns out that there's the last genome, which is basically another king's power. It's the last one that was ever created. And it was going, and the question was, if it was going to go to Shu, his body can't handle that much power like it could before, because their bodies weren't created that way. So it could possibly kill him. But then, so then we learned that Yahiro has like a change of heart. He really wants to, he has a change of heart. And both Yahiro and Shu basically have like this big fat character change, because Yahiro went from this dude of like, I'm going to be your friend, to I'm backstabbing you. I'm going to be your friend, I'm backstabbing you, to, you know what, I just want to protect people. That's all I really want to do. I never meant to cause any harm. And Shu's character growth went to, I don't know exactly what I want to do in life, but I know, I may not know what I wanted to do before, because I've always focused on other people's thoughts about me, but for now I want to do something for myself. And you also learn that Shu's destiny is to die, and his void is basically taking other people's voids, which is ironic because I was making a Guilty Crown character to have that power. Guilty Crown character. All right, so I have 26 minutes left and I have 3 episodes to talk about. Let's get this started. So let's get to episode 20. So in episode 20, that's when you really get the backstory of, like, the apocalypse and everything else. That's when you really start to get the story. So you pretty much learn that the president is, like, Guy's, and Guy's original name is Triton, is basically his father, which equals Guy is Shu's cousin. Not biologically, though. So you pretty much, like, learn that Suricho, I think that's his name, which is the president, was basically he took Guy in and used him and other boys to find Mana, Shu's older sister, a mate. So they pumped up the boys with the virus, aka the apocalypse, as they would like to call it. And, oh boy, a lot of them did not make it. But you also learn that the virus is supposed to represent, like, God's wrath, in a way, I'm guessing. And Mana is basically the host for the apocalypse. And she is spreading the apocalypse, and she is supposed to represent Eve. And she chose Shu because Shu is supposed to be the Adam. So it's supposed to be, like, the apocalypse is supposed to, like, wipe out the rest of the earth, while Mana and Shu are supposed to be like, all right, we are now the Adam and the Eve. We are going to recreate a brand new world. So in this, also in episode 20, I officially call it Inori's and Shu's relationship is canonically unhealthy. I'm calling it that. You also learn that human intelligence can possibly prevent the virus and everything else. And while you learn about this, Suricho, the president, is jealous of Shu's father, and his jealousy really starts to show up once he realized that he wasn't able to figure out the virus, but his friend was. So basically, the president kind of killed his father by shooting him, and Haruka, Shu's mom, not real mom, but Shu's like stepmom, knew about this, but she never really believed it. And Doth wanted Shu to go AWOL. So basically the government wanted Shu to go AWOL and gather other voids for their own reasoning. Here's the thing. I'm getting to my limit where I'm not going to be able to talk as much. So I'm going to like stop this recording, and I am going to make another recording to kind of finish this off. So that's going to be kind of like a part 3. I hope you guys enjoyed this part 2. I know this sounded very quick and this sounded very rushed. And I know this is kind of late, but like I said, I'm recording on my computer. I can only record 30 minutes. So I will see you guys soon.